by the way, as always, I forgot. Game of Games is powered by my friend Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob. Winning matters. That's why after an accident, you got to go to calljacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Andy Kamenetsky's here. Now George Shedano is here. Shedano, what's up, man?
Love it.
There you go.
Hey, George, what would you do with Westbrook?
I would have traded him in the offseason.
Mm-hmm. Right, but what do you do now?
I mean, now you're kind of stuck. I think that the reality is you're playing this weird game of chicken. You know what I mean? And that you, the understanding was, oh, well, maybe we'll increase his value. Well, I don't know how that's going so far. Not great is what I would say.
Yeah. Okay, you guys are going to do a lot of this today. I want to bring up something different. So Meghan Markle is so annoying.
Is this the deal or no deal thing?
The deal or no deal thing. Yeah. So Meghan Markle came out apparently in an interview and said she felt like she was objectified, treated like a bimbo while she was on Deal or No Deal. Mm-hmm. So I have a friend who is a supermodel. Her name is Donna Feldman, and she came out
and she was a Deal
this.
Or No Deal girl.
She was a dealer. She was a suitcase beauty, as they said.
Donna Feldman is the least supermodel sounding name ever.
Well, Google.
Have you ever seen her?
No,
Google her right now.
So here's Meghan Markle's career. She goes from briefcase beauty on Deal or No Deal to B-level actress on Suits, to Princess of the World, to Princess Isn't Good Enough for Me, and now complaining about the job that got her started, which was briefcase beauty.
My apologies to Donna Feldman.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Donna Feldman's for real. Ooh. Here's what she said. Everybody knows what you're signing up for when you're hired as a quote-unquote briefcase beauty. Being hired based off your looks comes with the territory, and since Deal or No Deal was one of the biggest shows on NBC, if you're proactive with your career, then you make the most of it and grow your resume from there. That's exactly what Donna's done. She's a regular on The Oval, that Tyler Perry show now. But, I mean, you're not allowed to complain that you were objectified or you're treated like, when your job was to hold a suitcase.
Couldn't agree with you more, and I'm proud that Donna Feldman spoke up.
Way to go, Donna.
I don't understand why Meghan, if she felt that way, took the gig in the first place. Was she under the impression that as a briefcase beauty, she was going to then be named host of the show?
Yeah, I mean, it ain't Jeopardy.
Yeah, I mean, what was she thinking would happen?
By the way, what a stupid show. I'm going to guess briefcase number 22. Like, that was actually a big hit show.
It was a huge hit for NBC.
By the way, Donna was briefcase number 22.
I think Meghan was 24.
Meghan was 24.
Yeah. I'm with you. I you know, Whoopi Goldberg went off on her too.
Oh, did she?
Went off on
it's just too much.
On
it's too much.
Not Meghan.
Well, I mean, look, two things can be true at once. Her beef with the royal kingdom or whatever they're called, the monarchy, can be valid. And this issue with Deal or No Deal or whatever the name of the show is with Howie Mandel can also be kind of like, all right, come on. That seems silly, you know. Like, both things can be true. It doesn't change your. It shouldn't change your opinion on whatever previous issues you may have had.
I remember. I think I can tell the story.
Uh-oh.
A friend of mine was one of the showrunners on Deal or No Deal,
mm-hmm.
And he said one day a group of the girls came to him,
and
basically threatened to go union and said, "Look, we feel the show is a huge hit. We feel as a group that we are underpaid." And my friend said, "Look, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I literally could drive to the pier in Manhattan Beach right now and replace every one of you. If you don't like the gig, you're free to leave, but the job is the job." And I think that's what they should have told Meghan. The job is the job.
So that reminds me of a story. Years ago, I got to know Brandon Tartikoff a little bit, who was the president of NBC. And
Hold on. Do you want to pick that up?
Yeah, I will pick that up.
I mean, that name you dropped
right
there.
Yeah, but wait. You know, it's an interesting thing. Both Brandon Tartikoff and Warren Littlefield, after they left, their identity was tied to the job. Like, those guys couldn't get lunch meetings, but go ahead and tell
us. So Tartikoff was in the middle. Do you remember the show? What was the car show?
Knight Rider.
Okay. So
Michael Knight, David Hasselhoff.
So David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
Says, "I'm not going to do the show again unless you give me a raise." And so
I'm the star of the show.
I'm the star of the show. And so Brandon Tartikoff sits down with him at lunch, and Brandon Tartikoff just calmly writes on his napkin something and turns it over and leaves. And when Hasselhoff turns the napkin over, it says, "The car is the star." And Hasselhoff went back to work at the exact same rate.
To your point. to this day, I remember that the car is named Kit.
Kit.
Yeah. I did not know David Hasselhoff's character's name until you just said it.
Oh, yeah. Michael Knight? No, if you liked the show, you knew his name was Michael Knight. Come on.
Right, but 30 or so years later, I don't remember the character's name, but I do remember Kit.
See, you know what I remember, too, about that show? The voice of the car. Do you know who it was, John? His act name, William Daniels.
Yeah, really, the guy was on Magnum P.I.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But those guys, what's interesting is in Hollywood, guys like Brandon Tartikoff and Warren Littlefield, when they step down, they go write books. And in all their books, which I've read, they all talk about how
so
people
good.
That were clamoring to get a meeting now won't even take a meeting with you. Once you lose the title, you lose your cachet. Hollywood is a cruel business, man.
So let me. When they write the book about 7-10, what is Bergman going to say about you two?
That he was the star of the show.
Yeah. No, that's a good. I wonder if somebody will write a book about this station.
I don't know who would read it.
Come on. Everybody in the circle of trust, everybody in the mafia, everybody in the Travis and Sliwa community.
All our P1s. I think if you opened the book and it started talking, then it would work.
Maybe they're
writing
it. It
was a talking book.
Somebody asked me a couple weeks ago, what is a P1? And the best way to describe it is, think of P as priority. Priority one. We're your priority when you turn on the radio. So priority one, that's what we mean when we say P1. It actually
if you get in your car and it's always tuned to 710 and we're your default entertainment, then you're a P1.
And I love the Amazon drivers. Yesterday, again, I pull up at a store and the Amazon driver is there and blaring 710. I'm hearing Shadano and yesterday, I think it was Shadano and Cappy, right? I heard him and I knocked on the door and said, hey, thank you very much for listening. Steve Mason, nice to meet you. And the guy was just like totally thrilled. So
Uber my UPS driver, Alonzo, Big Zoe, listens to the station all day.
Now, I found it interesting yesterday that Mason does not know the name of his mailman. My person is a male woman. Do you guys know the name of your mail carrier?
I have a couple of different mail carriers, so it's not always the same person. So I don't know their name, but I know their faces when I see them. But I know my UPS driver, Zoe, because he introduced himself to me. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, the whole thing with the mail doesn't even come every day anymore. Like, the mail comes, like, twice a week, or it's so random. The mail is spotty now. I don't know who the mail person is. It's
no,
a different person
every
time.
Day.
I don't get mail every day. I don't, unless nobody's sending me anything. All I get is crap about the election. My God, my mailbox is
there
just
is no
with election crap.
I tell you
how
right now,
there is. Are you getting from the election?
Oh, tons.
How many times have I had to text the word stop?
Oh,
yeah.
Stop.
All of
how did they even get my number?
Every single one of these candidates cannot declare that they are environmentally friendly because all they do is send me paper every damn day. Like, you don't declare yourself crunchy granola because I'm not buying it, man.
So I'll tell you guys something interesting. There are two propositions that are on the ballot about
26 and 27?
26 and 27.
Vote yes for both of them. What the hell? Yeah. That's what I'm going
to
do.
So here's what's interesting. I was talking to somebody in that world, and they told me that they don't think they're going to pass.
Oh, according to the projections right now, neither will pass. But I think that that's short-sighted, personally.
I'm with you, George.
54% of Californians do not want gambling available on people's phones.
I'll tell you this. The ads that run counter, I think 27 is the one with the mobile apps.
Yes,
right?
It
like
is.
DraftKings
and FanDuel.
Whatever.
Yeah.
MGM, like the ones with Vegas or whatever.
Yep,
that you see the
Caesars.
Jamie Foxx commercials. Right. The silliness about that one, at least the ads that I see, the attack ads, are that it's like, oh, your children are going to get in. They're going to become compulsive gamblers. And I'm like, yo, my kids have Roblox. You know how much I'm on their behinds to make sure that they're not doing stupid stuff on Roblox? Do you think that they're going to have access to my bank account? What the hell is wrong with you? What kind of parents allow their kids to have access to a bank account? That's what you need to have a gambling app. What the freaking freak is wrong with people?
I always it puts a red flag up when we're trying to protect people against themselves.
Well,
I have a strong libertarian
streak. But I hate
using
the kids, John. I hate using the kids here,
right?
Like some sort of meat shield. When it's like, what kid has access to a bank
account? No, I'm with you. I any law that is designed to protect me against myself, I can protect myself fine. You know, I should have the freedom to do whatever I want.
Well, here's what I would say. then just ban the lottery because that's been gambling and it's right. been legal yeah. for how long?
Exactly right. Yeah. That's gambling. That's legal. Yeah, I mean, I think more people are going to gamble. There's no question about that. And some people will have problems with it, just like some people have problems with cannabis and some people have problems with alcohol. And some people have problems. I mean, there are obstacles associated or problems associated with all these things. But as John said, I'm also very, very libertarian. You should not protect people against themselves.
So
you make your own decisions. You want to gamble your life away, that is your business.
So I'll give you an example. When I was in, I downloaded one time, DraftKings has like a gambling app, right? Not
yes.
just the fantasy one. They have like a separate one, like a sportsbook one. And I remember downloading it one time and I'm like, oh, California, you can't use it, whatever. So no big deal. But I went on vacation to Oregon this summer. And as soon as I got to Oregon, I want to say within minutes of me landing, all of a sudden the app activated. And it was like, hey, you can bet on the DraftKings app. And I was like, oh. And now, look, I have self-control. I literally can quit anything cold turkey whenever you want. Like, I go months without drinking. I go months without any sort of other party favors that we may use, cannabis or whatever. I can quit anything cold turkey fairly easily. I know I may not be the norm in that situation, but I was in Oregon. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna bet some baseball games. I'll put $5 or $10 on a game. Why not? You know what I mean? While I'm sitting here at the beach, like, who cares? So, but you again, to your point, John and Mace, you can't police people. They have to have their own semblance of self-control,
yes.
too. And using kids to me, I actually feel that's kind of gross. Like, you're targeting children when no child is downloading the DraftKings app to gamble. Like,
I'm with you. You want to hear something funny? Remember, Mace, we played that clip earlier in the week from Michael Wilbon
yes.
talking about how I'm not going to go on television and spend an entire year talking about the Lakers.
Are they doing it right now?
They have started NBA Countdown.
Yeah, I'm watching it.
It is now 4:10. It has been 10 straight minutes about the Lakers.
Well, no matter good, bad, and different, the Lakers
make
the thing go.
No, we are the gambling app of the NBA.
Yes.
Like the thing you cannot put down that you are addicted to, it's the Lakers.
Yeah, I want to throw out one more thing. This is you guys may have talked about this. I might have heard it on your show, so I may be regurgitating. But Circle K gas stations mm-hmm. in Florida are going to start selling weed.
Ooh. They're gonna make a lot of money.
They don't have legalized marijuana or cannabis in Florida.
Are you sure?
No, they only have medical.
There are 10 Circle K's that are apparently they're starting as a trial.
Maybe
program
if you have a
selling
card,
cannabis.
You gotta
have a card.
Yeah.
Probably.
Is that right? It's still not legal in Florida?
No, it is not.
Wow.
Strange things really are afoot at the Circle K.
It is just medical now. And you would have learned this perhaps when back in the day when Andy and Brian were doing the late night hoedown or whatever.
Yeah,
it was
hoedown
called.
Dance
Parody,
party.
The guy who does the Lakers dance hoedown. Party hoedown on your phone.
Yeah. The late night happy hour, and I came on one day to do just Florida man stories for like an hour.
Oh, that was so much fun.
We had a
that
blast.
Was so great.
Why'd you quit doing the Lakers hoedown dance
because
party on your phone?
It is really difficult to be the hosts, producers, guest bookers, like editors.
Now, Ireland did your show, right? He was
in the jacuzzi. Ireland did it in the jacuzzi. Yeah. You did it a couple times.
Did anyone else ever do it from a jacuzzi?
Momo did it one time on her elliptical.
Okay, that was the closest to it.
That was the closest to sort of...
You know what I found liberating about that, and what I find liberating about my own podcast is the ability to use the F word.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you could use it here. We just dump it.
Yeah, we just dump it. But, I mean, no, it's F it Friday. On the podcast, it's the real thing.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Mason, I'm with you on when you guys were talking about, like, when Briones brought up the story about the guy interviewing Messi and, like, who would you kind of be a little nervous about?
Yeah.
Oh, when I was at the Raptors-Warriors Game 2, in the NBA Finals in 2019, Barack Obama was there.
Mm.
And I was walking. He walked right by me. And I remember Ramona had just come up to me and told me the story where it was like, hey, like your stories or whatever it was that he said to her. And when he walked by, I was just like, I was like, hello, Mr. President. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was like that. And I didn't even get a chance to actually like talk to him other than just like a quick hello and wave as he walked by.
How many presidents have you met, George?
Just him.
Just him.
Yeah,
John,
just
how
that,
many presidents
that chance encounter in the hallway in the back of the arena.
Four.
Okay, name them.
Reagan.
Yep.
You've met Reagan.
I met Reagan.
Met Reagan at a golf course.
I introduced Reagan at Bowling Green State University during the campaign.
That's right,
style.
Young Republicans.
Yeah,
you told
I was part of the Young Republicans.
Both George Bushes, both incredibly friendly. And oh, and five, Trump.
You met Obama. I met Trump.
I did Trump for a sideline interview, Lakers-Knicks, 1 year.
I actually lived in a building that said Trump on the side of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you ran into him
one day?
Well,
but you met him when he wasn't the president, though.
Yeah, I met him pre-presidency. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never could have seen
But John has met a bunch of presidents, I'm sure, because of, right, of his Lakers connection.
Yeah, exactly.
I never went to the White House when LeBron and those guys were there.
I went once to the White House, and then I'll tell a quick story, and then I know we got to go. But so first year Lakers win the title when President Obama was in office. We do it at the White House, and everybody meets him. Second year, we do it at a Boys and Girls Club in Washington, D.C. And they said, if you're in the media and you're going to cover this event, you need to be there an hour early because they like to sweep the place and make sure it's safe. So I get there an hour early, and we're just killing time. And I'm with maybe 10 young kids, all African-American kids that are maybe 10 years old. And I say, just passing time, I said, hey, who are you guys looking forward to meeting the most? And they said, oh, wow. And I can tell they're being kind of shy. I go, is it Shaq? Or is it, no, is it Kobe? Is it Phil Jackson? Is it Powell? No. And one little girl goes, is Lamar Odom coming?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and Lamar was there yesterday, by the way.
I said, Lamar will be here. And I said, how do you guys know Lamar? And they said, well, we watch Keeping Up.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, wait a minute. How old are you? She goes, 10. I go, how many Kardashians can you name? All of them. Mm. They rattle off. They knew Chris, Rob, all five of the girls.
Scott Disick?
Yeah, they knew Lord. It was like, I go, wow. I go, this, the Kardashian reach is omnipotent.
Oh, yeah.
It just goes everywhere.
All right, so that's it for us.
Hey, Mace, by the way, what place are you in the fantasy league today?
Are you kidding me? It's been one night.
Two nights? What place?
Two nights.
Yeah, no players play last night.
What play? No, my players played.
Mine didn't.
Are you in last place?
We'll be back.
Yeah.
Coming up next for you, Shadano and Andy Kamenetsky in for Cappy. Don't forget, Super Crosstalk's brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. Ireland will have the Lakers game on Sunday. I'll have a couple of days off and be back on Wednesday. See you then, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Come on! Bam, ba da ba. Do you know how to do this, Andy?
Bam, ba da ba.
Boo,
ba da ba. Ba da ba da
boop.
Dee, doo doo da
da. Ba doom, bum, bum.
Boom, boom, boom.
There we go. Look at that. Don't you like that better than the growl? I feel like it's, you know, it's more rhythmic, number one. I mean,
boom, boom, boom. I have to admit, I never realized just how catchy this opening is until the Mandy's.
Right.
Like hearing the energy of that crowd with the Mandy's, and, you know, you guys, let's be honest, swept the thing. So I kept hearing it over and over. It is really fun.
A lot. That's true. Yes.
It is better than the growl.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Mace is going to. Oh, that's it. You're going to be banned from the show now. That's it. Brian Kamenetsky from now on. No more.
Is that really the way you're starting?
Oh, there you go.
I got to ingratiate myself into the circle. Like this, I mean, there's so much warring going on in the circle right now, and you know they're on edge, Mace. So I got to tell them what they want to hear. They want
to
hear that it's
don't
better
lie
than
to the people.
No, don't lie.
Don't lie.
Don't lie.
Don't lie.
You know, you're a rhythmic kind yourself. Of guy. You've got rhythm. You know, there's no rhythm to a growl.
That's what I think of, Andy Kamenetsky. Rhythm.
There you go. Mace, what are you going to do to get out of last place? How many guys going tonight?
We are 3 days into the season.
How many guys you got going tonight? All your guys are going tonight. I'm
all my guys
right
are going tonight. I had nobody in the lineup last night and nobody in the lineup on opening night because there were only two games. Yeah, you're really preemptive on making fun of me.
Wait, wait. Wednesday night was a full slate of games. There was 14 games on Wednesday.
How many guys did you play, Mace?
I've got a full lineup tonight. Full complement.
No, he's got a full lineup, and you know you got Bradley Beal already 2-for-2.
Nice.
There it is.
I got Jokic going tonight. I mean, seriously, my team is going to wreck some.
You're starting Herbert Jones though, Herb Jones from New Orleans.
I love Herb Jones.
Yeah, but he's
a great
defender.
Traded for Herb Jones,
but he's not like a offensive threat.
He's a slippery guy for me. I mean,
he's
he gets steals, he gets blocks.
I was going to say you could get blocks from the guard position.
Yeah.
So yeah, but you're playing him at small forward.
I'm way
Gary Trent Jr. I like that guy on your team.
I heard, actually, my brother Brian is in your league, so yeah. I got a rundown on
what
the
did
draft.
He say?
He said your team wasn't very good.
Oh,
yeah.
He said your team was
You know what?
Terrible.
All you people said the same thing last year when I won
no,
the
that's
league
not true.
Away. Oh, yes,
Mace,
it is.
You people. No way.
You underestimated
what
me.
Are you
I am
about?
Always underestimated.
Mace, you literally, we all were like, holy crap, he got Nikola Jokic. He already kept Kevin Durant. Like, of course we thought your team was going to be good.
You know, I'll tell you what. We should hold this conversation until after I finish ahead of you. I don't know that I'm going to win, but I know I'm going to beat George Sedano.
How much mythical money do you have?
Well, I only have 4,000 mythical dollars left, so yeah, it's not enough.
How much real money do you have?
I'm not betting real money.
How about
money.
The go-bag?
Yeah, the go-bag! Do you have a go-bag, George? Do you have a go-bag, Andy?
I do not have a go-bag.
I do not have a go-bag.
I heard about this, though.
But you know what I do have, Mace? So maybe this is like the digital version of a go-bag. I have one of those nano ledgers, like, you know, to put like all your crypto in, like,
that's smart. You know,
not your keys, not your crypto, right? So I got my keys and it's my crypto.
What about fake beard and mustache? You got that?
No, I don't.
Wig?
I don't.
Hair
no,
dye?
No wig either. Yeah.
Like hair dye.
How off the grid does this go bag take you? Like, you know, how much survivalist, like, you know, are you packing?
I'm leaving the country.
You got a gat in there?
I'm out of the country. I'm somewhere in South America. Ooh. Good luck finding me.
Truly. So you're planning for being on the lam.
On the lam. Exactly right. Because you never know when something's going to happen. You never know.
I mean, why would you be on the lam?
I don't know. I don't you think you should have a load of cash in the house just in case?
In the house? No.
Yeah.
I have some.
Yeah.
No, bro.
Do you have some?
I have some.
Yeah, I keep cash in the house. That's the only place I use cash.
Is it in bricks?
It's in the mattress.
Is it in bricks?
No.
No, I didn't
put
it in the mattress.
I'm the type of person that doesn't carry. I did hear you say you don't carry very much cash.
I don't.
I when you guys were having that conversation and John said he had $200 in his wallet, I'm like, $200? I'm like, no way. I got like $20 and that's because I happened to go to the ATM that day.
Yeah, I'm not a big believer in cash. It's filthy on top of everything else. Cash
it is
filthy.
Gross.
Yeah, it is.
It is gross.
Think about how many hands have touched that bill.
I just keep picturing Mace with the type of bag, because you had Brian Cranston on earlier.
Yeah.
That Walter White had when he left the state and he ends up in New Hampshire.
Go like, bag. Like Bob Odenkirk. I'm going to be working at a Krispy Kreme in Minnesota.
Bunch of burners.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh.
All right, I'm leaving you guys. Hey, have a great weekend, though. And have a great show.
Too, pal.
I'll be listening.
Have a good weekend, except for your fantasy team.
One last thing. Ah, the growl still rocks. Keep at it, Andy.
He's going to get banned for sure.
No.
Oh, so funny. All right. No. Look, we kind of like went through the entire first segment basically without actually saying anything. Andy, I'll give you 60 seconds, and then we can actually get into it a little further on the other side about your thoughts on yesterday. Like, give me, like, your 60-second, like, instant analysis of what concerns you or what doesn't concern you, what maybe you were surprised by yesterday.
I think in a lot of ways it was a much better game than the season opener against the Warriors. I thought the defense was very energetic, often really disruptive, effective in spots. LeBron, AD, who I really like the fact that he was able to come back from that fall, and Lonnie Walker played really well, but they got out-rebounded in a bad way that I think is indicative of a team that has so many guards, and the shooting is a serious real problem for this team.
Yeah, so I think there are a couple of things that have become untenable already through two games. Like, that's how bad those things are. We'll get to some of that on the other side. But first, it's Friday. You know, on Mason Island, they love Effort Friday. You know what we love? Tequila Fridays. Come on. I could do the Cappy version if you want. Come on, you know. Do you want me to play Cappy today? Like, do you want me to just like do the Cappy impersonation all day today?
That would be interesting. I like the idea of you playing dual roles on this, George.
Yeah, I could just be like, I can do me and him at the same time, and it'd be like a three-person show, but it'd be me doing two people. It'd be me doing myself and me doing the silly, goofy things that he does, like, Shamon, Shamon, hee-hee.
I mean, look, if you just need me to throw random-ass crap out there to take the role of Cap, I can do that.
Like, I mean, you feel free. I think we should both do our best impersonations then.
Like, we'll be Cap in spirit.
All right, best Michael Jackson song.
Best Michael Jackson song, either Wanna Be Starting Something.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I love that one. I love Human Nature.
Yeah.
Boy, PYT used to be really great until...
PYT!
It was great until it wasn't. If you understand.
Why?
This is a great song. Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. That might be my favorite.
That is a good one, too.
Off the Wall is secretly his best album.
Off the Wall?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good album. Yeah, in retrospect, I probably should have thought that. I mean, I don't think of it as like the best album, but you're right. It does have a lot of good songs on it.
It's so great. Yeah. It is. So
How about
great.
Rock With You?
Rock With
on
You
Off the Wall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, top to bottom, it's great. Couldn't help it if I wanted to. It's all great, top to bottom.
Wanna Be Starting Something? How about Smooth Criminal? Like I know it's later, but I feel like Smooth Criminal is pretty good.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Although there's a... Have you ever seen... I don't know if your kids are... They're not maybe not old enough yet to be into anime. But there's an anime called Demon Slayer that my daughter is super into. It's really popular. Yeah. But the main villain looks exactly like Michael Jackson in the Smooth Criminal era.
Oh,
so
really?
Like... And he's always referred
P-Y-T.
To... Yeah. Again, this song was great until it wasn't.
Right, yeah, well.
This one did not age well, but it's still great.
Yeah, Wanna Be Starting Something is good on Off the Wall. Don't Stop Till You Get Enough is a good one on Off the Wall.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that album, Thriller's great, don't get me wrong, but Off the Wall is his absolute best.
Don't stop till you get enough. Don't stop.
Yeah, that one might be up there for me. That might be number one for me, at least.
It's pretty great.
There it is.
I mean, like, it still sounds fresh, man.
Dude, you could play this right now at any bar and people are going to get down.
Oh, dude, my daughter, again, I was talking about her, she's 11. Like, it's really cool. Like, she's at an age where she's really hyper into discovering music.
Yeah.
And she knows I'm a music geek, so she loves to involve me in this. And she's happened to get more into music of, like, the 80s and 90s than anything current. And she's been on a Michael Jackson discovery phase now. And she knows a lot of that stuff now.
Well,
Laura
said something that's interesting. Go ahead, Laura. Say what you just said on the air.
Current music sucks.
I don't know about sucks, but it's certainly not as memorable, is what I would say.
It's not artistic enough for me. Like, there's not a lot of instruments. There's not a lot of musicians.
Well, the reason, I think, is because the way we consume music now, which is all digitally. And
no, but I say this, Andy, as someone who really enjoys EDM.
Sure.
I do think that there's some great EDM songs, but I would even say, like, and now I'm really going to sound like an old guy, like, if you compare 90s rap particularly, 90s hip-hop to me, like, was speaking to people, you know what I mean? Like, there are still some semblances of music like that speak to people, whether it's hip-hop or any other genre for that matter, but... There's not as much of it, is what I would say. There's a lot more commercial music.
Well, I think the issue now, like I was saying, is before there was the focus on the entire album, so you really had to work to create something that was worth listening to top to bottom.
Yeah.
Now you can get everything, you know, digitally wholesale. It doesn't really matter if you can come up with a lot that's great, if you can come up with like one or two songs. So to Laura's point, I think a lot of the artistry and the creativity's gone.
Fair. Or you can do like my boy Pitbull. He's kind of smart. He just remixes everything.
That's true. He's a genius at just redoing stuff.
He just remixes all these old songs and just like everybody's like, yeah.
My Mexican American mother-in-law loves Pitbull.
Oh,
he's
me.
Mr. Worldwide.
Loves Pitbull.
Mm-hmm. You know. Speaking of Mr. Worldwide, apparently I just saw this because somebody like tagged me in it and it just popped up on my timeline. That apparently the game I did, the Mavs Suns, highest, most watched ESPN season opening night game or late night game in 5 years. I say the Sedano effect.
Prove it otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
I mean, look, how many?
Maybe it was Devin Booker, maybe it was Luka, but maybe it was me.
Look, man, how many other people have passed through this? like doing that show. You know, a lot of big names, a lot of people with the NBA for years, they couldn't touch your ratings, George. Let's be honest.
There you go. So, all right, let's talk about the Lakers, because I'm sure that was pretty highly rated yesterday, because the Lakers, win or lose, get eyeballs on the television. But here's the thing. I think that two things, I agree with you on the shooting. Like, look, when this roster was constructed, right off the top, you're looking around, you're going like, all right, who's the guy? Like, who are the guys? And when your guys are Matt Ryan, who was literally driving an Uber, and I'm not trying to say this to demean the man, because I respect the hustle and the fact that he's on an NBA roster. So, look, when there's only 450 dudes in the league and you're one of them, I ain't disrespecting you that way. But what I'm saying is, in regards to a team that, in theory, should be wanting to compete for title contention, having someone like that playing 12, 15 minutes or whatever it is, kind of, to me, expresses how dire that situation is.
Oh, I mean, it's not apples to apples because the need was different, but it's why Austin Reeves, having the season he had last year, on one hand, good for Austin.
Sure.
On the other hand, holy crap that he was needed to be out there.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Correct. So I think that that's become a situation they're going to have to try to fix. I saw they signed Mo Harkless, and I kind of caught briefly Mason Ireland talking about it. And I know they said something, like Greg said something like, oh, he can shoot and defend. Mm-hmm. Well, you can do one of those things, and it's not shoot.
Did they actually? I have not seen that they actually signed him. I thought they were interested.
Well, that's
they
what actually, Shams, I think, said. No?
Okay.
Maybe right. He did. I don't know. Maybe Greg said that Shams said he signed, but maybe he didn't sign.
I will say this. Harkless maybe would help them. Like Darvin and LeBron yesterday talked about them looking to lean into more of a defensive identity.
Yeah. They did that yesterday. Right. I thought they played good defense yesterday.
Yes, they did. Harkless, if nothing else, gives them an actual wing-size defender, so maybe they're not giving up so much size in a lot of these matchups they have in a wing-driven league. Yeah. But he's going to fit in perfectly with the shooting they have right now.
Yeah, I mean, but right, because Mo Harkless is a career 32% three-point shooter, and I don't know if you know that, but that's not good.
Yeah, he's not going to help them with shooting. It's not what he does.
Oh, Greg just texted. Sham said they worked him out, didn't
right.
sign.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Actually, what's interesting about that is if they signed Harkless, I believe they have to cut probably Matt Ryan. Like, they don't have an open roster
spot. Are
they
at 15?
I believe they are. I think Ryan is their last spot.
Yeah.
Because he's a non-guaranteed contract, so it's not a big deal. But then you're taking away, like, the little shooting that you have.
Yeah. But the other thing that has become untenable is this Russ thing. And look, I love Bill Plaschke. I saw him last night. It was nice to see him. So, Bill, if you're listening, it was great to see you. And he's always been very kind to me over the years. And I joke with him because I say I don't always agree with him, but he always does provide great fodder for the program with his columns. But I'm with him on this. We were talking about it last night, he and I. This Westbrook thing is untenable now, in my estimation, because – Andy, I feel like they decided to play a game of chicken, okay? And the Lakers, against the rest of the league. Everybody in the league knows that this situation with Russ isn't going to work, that it doesn't fit. It's not going to work. And the Lakers are like, okay, we'll wait this out. We won't deal him in the offseason. We'll wait this out, and we'll try to, you know, perhaps raise his value. Except the flip side to that is, what if he plays poorly? And I know it's only two games, and they did play against maybe what ends up being the two best teams in the Western Conference back-to-back. It still does not look great because you certainly didn't raise his value over these last two games.
See, I don't think they've actually been trying to raise his value. I think they've just recognized the spot that they're in. And they only have one shot at trying to improve this team through a trade. They've got Russ's contract. They've got those two firsts. That's it. So they've, I think, recognized that they may have to bide their time until an opportunity presents itself that they think is worth pulling the trigger on, or they may be waiting out the idea of, is this team worth taking that shot on? Like, is this team actually good enough?
Are you going to waste another year of LeBron? He's going to be 38. And
here's the thing, man. If you make a trade that doesn't really affect
the team. Oh, no, you're worse off. Right?
Well, you're wasting LeBron's
the rest of his career
anyway.
Right. Right,
you're wasting
right.
it anyway. You're just doing it in a more performative way. That's the only difference.
Yeah, I look at this and I say to myself, man, what a mess. And by the way, they're all culpable in my estimation. Everybody is is culpable here across the board. There isn't like – I'm not pointing the finger at one person. I'm pointing the finger at everyone. Everyone that has any part of this collaboration that they have, they're all culpable in my estimation. And look, so now the question is, all right, what are they going to do with Russ? Laura, I know we have sound from Woj, okay? Let me hear what Woj said today on NBA Today about Russ.
And I think for the Lakers, you really have to wait 20 games, see what teams may start to pivot. You know, they've got to be patient so that they don't compound the mistake they made, which was trading all of their assets for Russell Westbrook with another deal that they see as short-sighted. And remember, Rob Pelinka got a contract extension. Pelinka does not have to go out and try to do a deal that saves him in the short term. And I think that's part of ownership's thinking is, if we're going to commit to Rob Pelinka and the job, he helped us win a championship in 2000 in the bubble. We're going to allow him to reshape this roster. Let's not do a deal here that ultimately, again, is short-sighted and doesn't get him ultimately toward being able to really try to reshape the roster and chase another championship. Again, the 2027-29 picks, those are really the assets they have.
Yeah.
And once you burn them, that's it. They're gone. And you don't really have any way to improve the team.
No, 100%. It's what you just said, Andy. But, I just think you're betting on this situation just because of Wembanyama that there's going to be more teams involved. I'm with you. I don't know if that's like some sort of panacea here.
Well, here's my thing. The teams that I think people expect to be in the Wembanyama Scoot sweepstakes, like obviously there could be a surprise team that craps the bed,
sure,
nobody sees coming. But
yeah,
the ones we anticipate, I don't think any of them have a player that's better than Miles Turner. So if you're waiting for that, just trade for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. Because I don't think, like San Antonio, they don't have anybody better than Miles,
right,
Turner.
Because what's going to happen is another contender will trade for Miles,
exactly,
Turner and give them,
like,
a first round pick.
Exactly. Like, yeah, if you're going, if that is actually the plan, just do this now.
Yeah.
If that's what you're waiting for specifically.
I am curious to see how this unfolds because right now, I get it. Now they're stuck, right? If you didn't trade him in the offseason, now you do have to wait the 20 games. I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying I would have traded him in the offseason. That's just me personally. So what to do about their shooting? Well, their coach had an interesting answer about that yesterday. I was there. I wanted to watch all these press conferences live yesterday. So I want you to hear what Darvin said. Plus, I want to get to something specifically that LeBron said. All that coming up. Stick around. AK is in for Cappy today. Sit down on Cap, 710 ESPN. Back in 2 minutes. Oh, this song. You want to talk about a summer anthem back then? Yeah.
I'm just taking it in, man.
JT, he's had some, man, his solo career, of all the guys who were like part of a boy band, is he the, like, he's the pinnacle, right? Like,
I mean, who would,
outside of Michael Jackson, obviously.
Who would, of that era, who would even possibly be the close second? There's nobody.
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, because Michael Jackson is the clear answer, like, all time from a boy band, but
of that
I feel
era.
Like JT's in that conversation after that.
Well, you know what? It's fitting because JT would be the first person to say he patterned everything after Michael Jackson.
Right. Right.
I mean, a lot of his sound is so directly influenced by Michael Jackson.
I mean, Bobby Brown for a minute in the late 80s, early 90s was really hot. And he was New Edition. But I feel like JT has had a better career than Bobby Brown.
Yeah, I mean,
solo career.
It got derailed by less stuff, if nothing else.
Correct. I don't know. Like, so I get right. NSYNC, 98 Degrees. Right, Nick Lachey didn't have that kind of career.
No.
Who else?
Lance Bass wasn't anything like this.
No. What was the other boy band? It was
98 Degrees.
Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet Boys. Was there any Backstreet Boy?
Nick, but not really. No, yeah. Nobody, no.
No, it's clearly Timberlake.
The only one that even had like a remotely successful career was Nick Lachey.
But not
really. But he
really.
Was nowhere. He did, but it was nowhere close to, like, not even in the same universe.
Yeah.
And I think it had a lot to do with Jessica, sadly.
Yeah. And by the way, I also think my guy T-Lake also has had a pretty decent acting career, too.
Actually, he is not a bad actor.
Yeah.
Like, he's been good in some stuff.
In the Facebook movie, The Network or whatever,
Social Network,
he was excellent.
He's really good in a movie called Alpha Dog.
It's
based on a true story of LA burbs, like far out burbs, like
right.
Valley type burbs. These kids who ended up killing a mutual friend of theirs and trying to hide it, and the parents got involved with it. He plays one of the kids who ends up caught up in it. Like, he's older than a lot of the other ones. He's really good in it. He's very good.
He was also in, like, a romantic comedy, a rom-com with Mila Kunis.
Oh, yeah.
What was the name of that movie?
It was right around the time Ashton Kutcher had, like, one that was exactly the same.
Yes! Oh, yes, he did!
Just Friends? Is it Just Friends? No.
Like, hold on.
Like, No Strings Attached.
No Strings Attached. I think
Justin
that's what
Timberlake.
I love that movie, because that was a girl in that movie.
Mila Kunis.
I always felt like I was a girl.
What was the name
of
that movie? Best, Friends with Benefits.
Friends with Benefits, yeah.
Such a good movie.
And there was another one with Ashton Kutcher that was basically the exact same plot.
Right. Yeah. Was that with Jessica Biel?
Might have been.
Yeah.
Might have been. He was in that Runner movie, I think with Ben Affleck.
Yeah. But he has been good. He has had a good career.
No, he's a talented guy.
Yeah, very talented.
Voice and Trolls.
And I believe still a minority partner in the Memphis Grizzlies, his hometown, I believe, team, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I think you are correct.
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of basketball, so you brought up the part where, you know, the Lakers shooting has been pretty horrific. I believe it's 19 of 85 through two games.
They are 22% two games into this season.
Yeah. Yeah. So not good is what I would say. Yeah. So Darvin Ham, Laura, let's get this down, was asked specifically about the shooting. Like, and I think Brad Turner was the person who asked this question at that press conference of the LA Times and was like, hey, like, you know, are you okay with the shot selection? Like, is there anything you'd do differently? And this was Darvin's answer.
We just have to take care of our business. That's the way we want to play. If they want to give us those shots, we'll accept it wholeheartedly. I mean, that's the way we want to play. We want to play fast, physical, and free. And again, we see these guys making shots in practice and shoot around. They got to do it on the game floor. It's as simple as that. Whether a team was giving us shots or whatnot, that's, you know, it is what it is. But we like the shots we're getting. And definitely, you know, you'd like to see the ball going more, but again, you just have to trust the process and continue to work at it and get reps up, and eventually the ball will go in the hole.
Now, I get that, but at what point do we start to say to ourselves, you're trying to stick a square peg in a round hole?
Well, here's the thing. The Lakers were 9 for 45 in this game against the Clippers that they lost last night, which is terrible. If they were 12 of 45, which is still, George, terrible, they win that game.
Yeah.
So if they have a bunch of guys on this team who are largely below league average as three-point shooters.
Correct.
If they shoot to their below league averages on their career, the Lakers' percentage would go up like 8 or 9 points.
Right. And by the way, because they played much better defense in this game yesterday than they did against the Warriors, then they found them that you're basically saying they don't have to shoot even league average if they can play defense like we saw yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, their defense and Russell Westbrook was in the middle of a lot of these really good defensive moments. Everybody, I thought, who played yesterday played with a lot of defensive intensity and focus, which is light years different than last season where they were clearly just disinterested in phoning it in. Like, the mentality of this team two games in is way better than last season's. Like, I think that's indisputable.
Oh, for sure. There's no doubt. No doubt. I'm with you on that. We have some funny Barkley sound that we'll play in the next hour that he was when he was talking about the Lakers. It just, and honestly, I don't disagree with him, but we'll get to that coming up in just a sec. But yeah, I just look at this, the shooting part of this equation, and I don't want to make this all doom and gloom because, to you know, the point we were just trying to make, I thought defensively they played really well. And I even think offensively, despite the lack of shooting, they did some things really well, too. They took care of the ball.
Yep.
And look, I'm not alone on this. Forget about what I think, right? Richard Jefferson was on NBA Today, and he kind of highlighted some of this in this whole discussion about shooting.
They only had 9 turnovers, right? That's why they were in that game. So you got to compliment on them. They forced the Clippers into 21 turnovers. So, like, they were doing so many positive things. But there is still one part that's always going to be missing. You will not win games if you do not flood the court with as much shooting as possible. And that's not what they're doing. And we're going to sound redundant, but that's just basketball. So I don't know what else to say.
So he look, I forgot that part, the 21 turnovers that they forced. They made the Clippers look sloppy on offense. So, look, there's some positives. Only 9 turnovers, took care of the ball, played good defense, forced 21 turnovers. But the shooting is going to be a problem in this league. Like, I don't – like, you could have – you're going to need to have, like, the number one defense in the league to be able to sustain the bad shooting or the under – or the below-average shooting that they, in theory, possess.
Look, man, if they can get themselves up to a place where each guy on this team shoots at his career three-point averages, which would make, on balance, a pretty bad three-point shooting team, but better where they are than where they are now – they all of a sudden become a totally different team. Like, if they're shooting 30% from behind the arc, which is terrible, they are a much better team. They could be 2-0. They're definitely 1-1. Like, they're just different. They're still bad in that area, but they're not disastrous bad. They're just bad.
Yeah, speaking of bad, and I hate to say this because my girl's in this movie, the Ashton Kutcher movie was No Strings Attached, and it had Natalie Portman in it, which... it just pains me to say. Natalie, I'm sorry. I love you still.
Oh, wow. Is she your...
Oh, she's the one.
She's your beck and sail to Ireland?
Yeah. Wife knows. If Natalie comes knocking, it was nice knowing her.
I imagine she feels very secure with that knowledge.
Nice knowing everybody. Never know.
She's probably not losing sleep.
Maybe she's feeling good now. Hey, maybe she was also part of the 1.6 million people watching.
I was just about to say, once Natalie Portman realizes she could be with the number one rated
sideline reporter
in the NBA.
There you go.
Isn't she married like a billionaire or something like that?
I mean, so what does that mean? How do we know if there's love there?
Let me look this up right now. I think she's married to somebody.
$1 billion. She's in love.
I'd be too. I'd be in love with him too.
I could swear she is married to a man named Benjamin Millipede.
Yeah. I have no clue.
Oh no, George, you can take him. He's just a dancer and a choreographer.
Oh, yeah. I got you. I can dance.
You got this.
I mean, there's no such thing as a billionaire choreographer, man.
I'm Latino. I can dance.
Yes. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's you dance your way into Natalie Portman's life.
I mean, perhaps. Maybe I'll do a little dancing on my way to those sideline
dances. Oh, George, you know what you do? You do the forbidden
dance. I'm the dancing sideline reporter.
You do the forbidden dance.
The lambada.
She sees the forbidden dance, she's yours.
And that's it. I become the forbidden fruit at that point.
Ooh.
Yes. There you go. So coming up next, I want to get into something LeBron said yesterday in the post game. And here's the other part of the equation. Brian Windhorst, I think, nailed something about the biggest misstep with the Lakers at the moment. So we'll get to all that coming up here, plus what you need to know. AK is in the house. Sorry, I almost made you your brother there for a second.
That is offensive.
AK, you've drawn the line. AK is in the house for Cabby today. Sedano Cap, 710 ESPN.